Lord, we pray for your servant. Use him as your vessel and speak to us. Bless each and everyone. May the devil do not disturb not even one person in this temple. We are ready to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sit?
Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. As usual, it is always a privilege to stand in front of you and be able to speak on behalf of the Lord. And so we are very thankful to the Lord who has granted this opportunity to stand in front of you and share his words. Our today's topic is entitled Our Christian Living, Testimony to a Corrupt World. In other words, our Christian life, a testimony to a corrupt world. This topic is a great topic. It can be a long teaching, but in the next few minutes, we will highlight on a few things. And we'll have our reading from the book of Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Genesis 39 is a story of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. If we are there, we are going to read. I chose to read verse 3-5 and then move on to verse 7-20. So we'll start our reading from verse 3, Genesis chapter 39. It says this, verse 3, he lived in the house of his Egyptian master, who saw that the Lord was with Joseph and had made him successful in everything he did. Verse 5, from then on, because of Joseph, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian and everything that he had in his house and his fields. Verse 7. Joseph was well built and good looking. And after a while, his master's wife began to desire Joseph and asked him to go to bed with her. He refused and said to her, "Look, my master does not have to concern himself with anything in the house because I am here. He has put me in charge of everything he has. I have as much authority in this house as he has, and he has not kept back anything from me except you. How then could I do such an immoral thing and sin against God?" Although she asked Joseph day after day, he would not go to bed with her. But one day when Joseph went into the house to his work, none of the house servant was there. She caught him by his robe and said, "Come to bed with me." But he escaped and ran outside, leaving his robe in her hand. When she saw that he had left his robe and had run out of the house, she called to her house servants and said, "Look at this Hebrew my husband brought to the house is insulting us." 15, he came into my room and tried to rape me, but I screamed as loud as I could. When he heard me scream, he ran outside, leaving his robe beside me. She kept his robe with her until Joseph's master came home. Then she told him the same story. "The Hebrew slave that you brought here came into my room and insulted me. But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his robe beside me." Joseph's master was furious and had Joseph arrested and put in the prison where the king's prisoners were kept. And there he stayed. Amen. That is the word of God. Our first reading from Genesis We'll have other readings as we go through the text. But I wanted to emphasize on verse 3 and 5, and also probably verse 11. We can see from verse 3, the Bible is very clear, and I like the way it is emphasizing on some issues in this passage. Verse 3, the Bible shows that the Lord with Joseph, and he was successful in everything in Potiphar's house. Verse 5, the Bible shows that from then on, because of Joseph, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian and everything that he had in the house, including his fields, because of the presence of Joseph in the Potiphar's house. Things changed. Potiphar got blessed in the house and in the fields. Verse 11, we can see, but one day when Joseph went into the house to do this work, none of the servant was there. Hallelujah. I like the way the writer of this book is emphasizing on some aspects. None of the other servants was in the house. When Joseph walked into the house in the room of his master's wife, none of other servants was there. What does it mean? A great opportunity was given to Joseph because he was just there himself and the wife of his masters. But Joseph chose not to commit a sin with the wife of his master. And so, brothers and sisters, today we are talking about our Christian life in a corrupt world. And I would like to remind us that the way the world has not been corrupt today. The corrupt world is a story that started very long ago. When we go through the story of Abraham, and remember the city of Gomorrah, what happened during the time of Abraham? You remember Lot and his wife. When they left Gomorrah, what happened? You remember during that story, even two daughters slept with their father because they said, we want to multiply our family. This showed you how horrible people were living during that time. The world was already corrupt. When you come into the Gospels, you find even Jesus himself, when he came to the world, he found a corrupt world. And the corrupt world was even in the church. Remember, Jesus told to his disciples, if you read from the book of Matthew 10:16, and he said, I am sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Be prudent like snakes and innocent like doves. So Jesus was showing them that the place where you are going, it is not a safe place. It's a corrupt world. But you guys have to be prudent. If you read in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 46, you will find Paul describing what was happening in the church. Paul is saying, we are surprised to hear that nowadays, women are going after women. Men are going after men. They are sleeping. Men are sleeping with men. Women are sleeping with men. And these things are happening nowadays. So these are not new things. The world will corrupt from the way back. And this is why the book of Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new on earth. If you are told we have found something new, come and see. This is not true. Everything that is in the world has been there before. There is nothing new in the world. So today we want to talk about what can we do as Christians in such a corrupt world that was corrupt from the way back. Even though the world was corrupt from the world back, even though people used to live horrible lives, but we have very many examples in the Bible of peoples that make a difference. And even Abraham himself made a difference. Lot himself was living in the middle of these people. He made a difference. Paul himself, because he's describing the church of Rome, the way they were living a horrible life, but these guys made a difference. Praise the Lord. And so, today's brothers and sisters, it is very important as Christians to remember that our testimony in the midst of this life, of this corrupt world, our life testifies to the corrupt world that we are Christians. It is not everyone that has probably the ability to come forward and preach. It's not everyone who will preach, of course, in a crowd of people, but we can preach in different ways. We can preach in a way of living. We can preach in our way of speaking. We can preach in our way of dressing up. When I was reflecting on this topic, I remembered when Jesus was arrested and Peter was accompanying him, walking behind him. And someone came up to Peter and told him, "You are one of these people." And Peter said, "No." And then he replied, "But your language is betraying you." Hallelujah. Our words can show that we are Christian. Our words can be a very good testimony. Even though you are not preaching, but just your way of speaking. When you are angry, when somebody has done a very bad thing to you, when you are talking to your subordinate, when you are treating your housework, when you are treating your brothers and sisters, your wife or your husband, this can show, can be a preaching to people. Even though you are not reading the Bible, we don't need to read the Bible to preach. So our Christian life should be a testimony to the corrupt world. And indeed, I am encouraging us, brothers and sisters, to look into this aspect of preaching. Probably very few of us have the courage to open the Bible and talk to people out there on the street, in our auditoriums, in our workplaces. Probably we do not have this courage of opening the Bible, but there are different ways of speaking to people through our life. So we can be a good Christian, but we mistreat our tenants, for example. We can be a good Christian, but we cannot control our anger. We can be good Christians, but we are not sensitive to other people's suffering. We can be good Christians, but we only help those who help us. We can be good Christians, but probably we only visit those who visit us. We only greet the people who greet us. And this is why in the book of Matthew 5:46, Jesus was asking, if you only greet the people that greet you, if you only visit people that visit you, what difference are you making? Praise the Lord. So Christians, we are called to make a difference in a corrupt world, in our way of treating other people, in our way of taking care of other people, in our way of ministering to other people, in our way of handling our subordinate. Somebody said, the things you do speak louder than what you say. That when you speak, I can't even understand what you are speaking. So your life can speak louder to people than what you are saying. And so, brothers and sisters, let us not be a hindrance to some people who would like probably to come to Jesus, because when they watch what we are living, they watch what we are saying, they are discouraged to approach and give their lives to Jesus Christ. So we do not We don't need really to preach through the Bible, but our life can preach. So when you introduce yourself as a Christian, I would like to remind you that the world immediately expects you to make a difference. They already label a number of things you are not supposed to do, but them, they can do it. And I was reflecting on this. I remembered a colleague of mine when I was in undergraduate medical school. I was in second year. As we were preparing our exams, they were trying to challenge me. They were like, "You guys, we always observe you when we are having exam. You sit on the front bench and you don't want to share anything to anybody. And after we have failed, you'll come back to preach to us," because I used to preach at the university. So they were preparing the exam and they were saying, "Do you know that we are paying very expensive school fees so that we can also succeed at least and progress in our life, in our studies?" And he asked, saying, "So are you happy when I fail and have to repay again? And proudly you can come back and preach to me, yet you refuse to show me an answer?" It was a very challenging scenario. You know, I reflected back and I was like, this guy is probably right. Hallelujah. So the following day, we want to sit for exam, and somebody was sitting behind me and requested me to show him something. And I exposed my paper and he could read and write down. At the end of the exam, one of my colleagues, immediately after we have finished the exam, one of my colleagues came to me and was like, "Hey, Pastor, I saw you teaching also." Hallelujah. What does this mean? This means these people are allowed to do some other things that you cannot do. Amen. So anytime you try to do what they do, they will label you as a false Christian. So brothers and sisters, we have to watch out on things you do, that when we introduce ourselves as Christians, already the world have some expectation from us. And we really need to watch out that we live accordingly so that we can not be a hindrance to these people who want to come to Jesus. So the church, I always say the church is like a school that not only teaches us how to make a difference in this world, but also prepare us to the life in heaven. This is why we come to church. We come to church to learn. After here, the real Christian life is in the marketplace. Every Sunday, we all of us are holy in the church. But the real Christian life is lived out there in the marketplace, in our families, workplace, schools, everywhere we go. So here we come to be taught. And for us gathering here, we sometimes call the Sunday school for kids, but I think this is also a Sunday school for all of us, so that we can come and get taught and then practice in the marketplace. Hallelujah. So not all of us will be given a floor to preach. As I said, not all of us have the ability to preach, but our life can preach to several people in any environment. In the book of Matthew 5:14-16, you see the Bible says, is mentioning that we are a light. And the light cannot be put under the desk to be not seen. The light is put on the top of the desk so that everybody can see. It can shine everybody. So brothers and sisters, I wanted to remind us that we are this light, that Jesus is waiting on us. The world is probably full of darkness, and the Christians are called to be the light, to enlighten the world. As I was reflecting on this, I remembered, you know, when you walk into a dark place, you will hardly see things. You will realize that this place is really dark. But as long as you remain in the place, as long as you dwell in the place, the darkness starts becoming clear. I pray the Lord. You will start seeing clearly. When you step into for the first time, it is dark. You can hardly see. But if you remain there, you will start saying, hallelujah. What does this mean? It means, let us, brothers and sisters, not get used to darkness. Because if you go into darkness and you stay there, you will no longer see it as darkness. It will become light. Once you step into darkness, don't remain there. Get out and see the light. And if you decide to remain there, make sure you are the light so that you can enlighten the darkness. You can make a difference. And so, brothers and sisters, the world is really corrupt, but this corrupt world is waiting on us. We have got this grace to receive Jesus in our life as our Lord and Savior. It is a privilege. There are many people out there who do not know the Lord. And in this corrupt world, it is not possible to live and impact as a Christian if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send you somebody, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, who will help you to walk into the truth, who will remind you everything, and who will guide you. And so, brothers and sisters, anytime you are tempted to do something that is not in line with the Word of God, speak to the Holy Spirit. Even a very quiet, silent word, you can say something. Holy Spirit, if you do not help me, I will slide. Hallelujah. Again, maybe probably this is the last example. From my experience at university once again, I was doing an exam. I was not very good in biochemist. And this was my second session. And I knew the exam was difficult. This time round, I sat next to my colleagues and I was ready to ask them to show me. Because I was like, this time I'm going to fail because I'm not very good, strong in biochemistry. I myself did Latin in secondary school. And so I was facing challenges, especially in biochemistry. And when I was coming next to my colleagues, I saw everybody was escaping. And they were leaving me to one row alone. What I did, I bowed and spoke silently to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you don't help me in this situation, I'm going to slide. Hallelujah. I said it clearly. And I told the Lord, assist me because I am at the brink of sliding. And then guess what? When the supervisor started displaying the questions, I was surprised. I realized the lecturer had brought back all the questions that we had on the first session. 8 questions, all of them. And so I started smiling, but also regretting. I was like, my God, I was almost failing for, I was almost backsliding for nothing. And then the Lord really saved me that day. And I wrote my exam proudly. In a few minutes, I had already finished. What does this mean? There are situations that we face that we really need to speak the truth to the Lord and tell Him, tell the Holy Spirit, if you don't intervene here, I am finished. Hallelujah. By the time we do so, the Holy Spirit will really help us. And He will give us the strength to overcome the temptations and the other things that we are going through, that we are going to corrupt our Christian life. So as we go, as we end our today's session, I'd like to remind us that this world will corrupt from the way back, that Jesus recognized that the world is corrupt, but this same world is waiting on us to make a difference. To make a difference in our way of talking to people. To make a difference in our way of treating people, our subordinate, our household, our colleagues. To make a difference in our way of managing. If we are a manager, to make a difference even in our way of dressing up. Pray the Lord. You can continue our readings as you go home. You will probably continue. There's another text I did not read. So probably you can continue meditating on this on your own time. Genesis 39, Matthew 5, 46, 47. And then Romans 1, 46, 47. You will see what the Lord speaks to us and how the Lord can help us to continue impact this corrupt world.